This week's episode of Infinite Canvas Ultra is sponsored by Midwest Action. Midwest Action is a record and tape label as well as a blog based here in our hometown of Chicago. Midwest Action showcases the best and brightest in the Midwestern music scene, covering genres of all types, from lo-fi garage rock to hip-hop, psychedelic rock, and more. For more information on their releases and events sponsored by Midwest Action, you can head to MidwestAXN.com or search MidwestAXN at Bandcamp. Midwest Action. Listen local. And 2019 is over. It's done. Finito. Dead. Bye. But welcome to 2020, and as a retrospective on the year that is now just passed, I, Daniel Fiorio,
and I, Michael Lane,
are going to be recapping on 2019.
Yeah, before we shut this book completely and place it back on the shelf, I think we're going to do a couple lists here.
Yep, we're about to embark on a new year of new films, new albums, new TV shows, new things to be excited about, but gotta take some time to just recount on what our favorites, what we thought the best of the best was, and basically all of entertainment.
Yeah, so actually as you're listening to this, we're doing something pretty special this week. So
yep.
This is going to be our first episode this week in our sort of retrospective 2019 list week, if I can so much steal from Anthony Fantano.
Yep.
Yesterday, we should have put up a Spotify playlist of our top 50 songs. That's 25 songs from each of us from 2019. And then this episode that you're listening to right now, we're doing our top 10 albums,
top 10
respectively.
Albums of the year. Yeah.
Tomorrow, Dan has a written list on Tuesday that will go out that will recap his top 30 albums of the year, a written list for everybody to read.
Make some time, although I've condensed it way more than I have in previous years.
Yeah, so it's about a couple sentences each, so it's a nice, brisk read.
Quick read this time.
And a lot of great stuff on there, obviously. And then, actually, on Wednesday, we'll be getting into our top 10 films for each of us of the last year.
It's going to be a big one. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be probably our longest one, if I had to guess.
Yeah, more than likely.
Mostly just because, especially with movies, we typically see the same things, yeah. So we have way more to talk about. Before we do our final episode of the week, which will go out on Friday, on Thursday, I will have a written top 10 film list, which I do every year, so that'll go out then. And then finally on Friday, we will have something a little bit different, where I will be doing my top 10 video games of 2019, and Dan will be covering his top 10 comic books of 2019.
Both covering our areas of expertise.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I can't speak.
I think that's best, because I don't know if you've maybe played enough to really have a list like that.
I feel like
for video games,
maybe only played like 2 or 3 games from this year,
yeah,
so it just wouldn't really be enough.
And I really fell out of comics in 2019, so
we're kind of picking up the slack.
Yeah,
for both of
us. I think that'll be a good way to round out the week. And
hopefully from that, I think we'll both get some recommendations from
maybe
some new games to play, hopefully some new comics for you to check
out. And yeah, so that will be rounding out our list week.
Yeah.
It'll be 6 full days of great, awesome retrospective content.
Because we didn't want to put you through a 3.5 hour long episode this
time. Oh, man, it probably would have been longer than that.
Probably.
Because last time it wasn't it 3.5 hours
yep.
for a half year list? And those were only top fives.
Yep.
So doing top tens of everything, whew.
Granted,
we've covered a lot of our favorite movies already this year.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of that stuff will be condensed a bit, but
a lot of it like won't really come as much of a shock to people as well.
Yeah,
feel.
But, yeah, but yeah, no, it'll be good. I hope everyone out there enjoys it. I hope these are easier, more digestible episodes, you know, that they're all on one topic. And yeah, I think we're gonna get right to it.
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be back in 1 second.
Infinite Canvas Ultra 2019 special. We are going to be now looking at our top 10 albums of the year.
Mm-hmm.
This was... So, as a lot of you will see, I believe tomorrow, from when this is airing, I typically write a top 30 albums of the year list every year. Last year, I didn't end up having one because of just life getting in the way. And to be frank, that was one of the most difficult years to rank albums for
me. So it's kind of a good thing that you didn't have to do it.
There was too much that I liked in 2018. It was a great year.
Are you saying that 2019 was kind of an off year? Or?
Not at all. It was more... So I felt like 2018 was kind of a unmanageable amount of good music, whereas this was the right amount. Making a list this year was actually incredibly fun, and just looking back on the caliber of albums that have come out just in my top 30, and then I think I maybe had about 12 albums that didn't make the cut, because I basically just kind of recounted everything that I listened to and wrote all the ones that I would want to have, and then just kind of ranked them, and ended up becoming the top 30. But it was a lot of fun to do that, and just looking just at how varied everything is. It was a great year for music, just in a lot of different genres, which I feel like some years, like, one genre just kind of shines and, like, shines above everything else. This year, I mean, get amazing folk records, get amazing rap records, get amazing pop records. Like, it's just so varied. It was such a rich year for music, and I'm very excited to give a definitive top 10 for all my favorites.
Same here. Yeah, I also thought this was a fun year to rank. I was going through all of them these past few days, like all the albums that really I connected with this past year, and I had to cut. There was a number of them that I was surprised I had to cut.
Yeah.
From artists that I really love, and some of the albums I was most looking forward to this year.
Mm-hmm.
Really, honestly, as I'm looking through it now, there's really only a few that I kind of expected to love, and you know, there's a number of them that I either one didn't know who the artist was beforehand, or two was kind of like, you know, I'm fine with that artist, but I haven't really like really felt this compelled to listen to them.
Sure.
So that's some of my favorite aspects of doing these lists is listing out, you know, all these artists and finding these new ones, or, you know, going through the year and seeing like, oh wow, they were like these really big artists that really had an impact on me that I didn't even know who they were before. Just like some really great surprises this past year, and it was a really good year of music.
Absolutely.
And honestly,
listeners should know Michael has actually seen my top 30. He edits the articles for our website. I have no idea what Michael's top 10 is, so I'm very, very curious to see how this shakes out.
Well, to be fair, I've not really looked too deep into your top. Okay. I mean, I gave it a glance, and I looked at some stuff, but I haven't really edited it out yet for publication at the time of this recording, so... Honestly, I know of some of your top 10,
and
the rest will honestly be pretty big surprises too.
Well, I'm happy about that. Wait, do you know what my number one is?
I think I do, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
There's one that I don't know exactly. I don't remember exactly what was written out there, but there's one I'm assuming it is.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I saw that at number one. But I'm super interested to see yours as well. I'm sure our music tastes will kind of go off in separate paths. I'm sure our movie list will be fairly similar.
Confident in that.
So, especially like we said before, we see most movies we see together.
Yeah.
So you know, those lists will probably come out pretty similar, but here there will definitely be a lot of differences here. So I'm really excited to see that.
I am too.
Did you want to start off with your number 10 and count our way down?
Let's do it. So number 10 for me, it is the album Caligula by Lingua Ignota. This is a record that I honestly have not really listened to that much this year. And actually I just kind of came to it probably maybe beginning of November. And since then I've seen her live, actually. That was just kind of how super just shocked and impressed with this record I was.
Who is this again?
So her name's Lingua Ignota. I believe she's from California. That's like a stage name. Her real name's like Kristen something. I'm totally blanking. My apologies. But it's this extremely, I can't describe it as anything other than just sort of psychotic but beautiful mix of like orchestral chamber folk, but it's oftentimes sung in a screamed out black metal type vocal styling.
Interesting.
It's a very rough and punishing album. Like, if you're a fan of bands like Swans, this will totally be up your alley.
Okay.
So super experimental and just very moving. It's a record, unfortunately, about domestic abuse, and the way it handles those issues and just the way it presents it is just staggering. It's mind-blowing. It's just one of the, it's a record where it's not something I go to like listen to frequently, but it's more so just embracing it as a piece
it's
of
art. It's a full experience.
It's a full experience, and it's just great.
Probably not, maybe not something you listen to outside of the context of an album.
Exactly.
Really. But yeah, I can totally see albums like that where it's really, you get so immersed in that album, and maybe those songs don't really translate to just, like, being in a playlist and, like, at random.
This is definitely not a record for
that
at all, but I love that about it. I love the way that it was orchestrated and just the arranged and written. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a phenomenal record. I wish I would have taken to it sooner, because I think this album came out June or July, and tons of people were giving it great reviews. I think Melon gave it a 9. And I saw it, and I'm like, well, that's cool. But I just, like, wasn't necessarily in the mood to check out something like that at that time. And just, I don't know, winter hits. I'm just feeling like, oh, I'm going to listen to this crazy, you know, experimental singer-songwriter album. And just
get into a deep zone.
Totally moved me. It's just, it's great. I think it's a phenomenal album. And I'm excited to see where the rest of Lingua Ignota's career goes from here, because this is only her second really major release, so yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Before I get into my top 10, I will say that I'm very excited to hear all of the names and artists that I have no idea who they are. I'm certain that Dan will know every single one of the artists on my list.
My list is not that.
It's not that crazy?
It's pretty accessible,
it's
considered, actually. Okay. Like, there's definitely some names you know.
Okay. Here. I mean, I figured there'd be a handful, but
also let me know which ones you have no idea, because I would love to tell you which ones I would recommend you personally.
Because
there's
that.
Two on here that I don't think you know that you should listen to tomorrow.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. I will totally hit you up for those when we get there.
Yeah.
And before we get into it, I actually grabbed a couple top tracks from each album. I don't know if you wanted
to
couple tracks just in case. Maybe this album is maybe not the best one to pull from.
No, actually, I totally could.
Because that's kind of, you know, if we're doing this top albums list, that seems like a nice thing. Like, hey, if you're out there, here's three tracks you can listen to, or at least one that you can listen to get a full experience of what this kind of album is doing.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. If I were to go with track recommendations, or just my favorite tracks on Caligula, it would be May Failure Be Your Noose, which is track 4. Very dramatic titles, but track 7, Day of Tears. I can't even get that. Day of Tears and Mourning. It's a sad record.
Okay.
It's very sad. And then track 3, Butcher of the World, also a great cut. Those would be like my highlighted
nothing
tracks.
Happy about any of those tracks,
no,
I'm certain.
It's not a good time. This is definitely a record I would not point you in the direction of.
Fair enough.
This would not be a
fair fair enough. There was a second where you said like chamber pop folksy kind of stuff, and I was like, oh, and then you kind of kept talking about it, and I was like, okay, maybe not.
It has those elements, but not completely.
definitely not. So my number 10, actually kind of a surprise for me how low it's dipping this year, and that is Carly Rae Jepsen's Dedicated. A totally really great album, definitely a really strong follow-up to her 2015 breakout well, I would call it her breakout hit album Emotion, which is maybe the most played album of the decade for me, and an album that I hold very near and dear to my heart, that is Emotion. And Dedicated, I think, is a very good album. I like it a lot. And maybe I'm being a little biased here, just putting her on my list at number 10. Because I listened to the album a good amount when it first came out, but I never got so attached to it like I did Emotion, which was seriously like every day I was listening to that album, like multiple times a day for like half of a year.
Right. I think there was a time I'd go in your car and you were not listening to that.
Seriously, every time I drove, there would be at least one song. Boy Problems is like one of the best songs of the decade for me. And Dedicated is a good follow-up, but it's kind of playing a lot of the same notes. It's hitting a lot of the same feelings. Charlie Rae Jepsen herself kind of gets a little out of her own comfort zone in terms of lyrics, which is nice.
Uh-huh.
Mostly her lyricism in the past has been about like lost love or her longing for love and not really getting reciprocated. Which is kind of a fun twist on a female pop singer, I feel like, in itself.
Right.
But here, she's kind of more risque, and there's songs about, you know, her just wanting, like, one of them's like, I want you in my room, I believe the title is, where it's like her just, like, talking about, like, get over here, we're gonna fuck. Like, right.
She's but, very unlike Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah,
it's great to hear her go
and it's a really,
in that direction lyrically.
It's a really great album, but again, it's just, I think, just in terms of my favorite records of this year, it wasn't doing anything so surprising.
Sure.
And maybe felt a little too safe.
Sure.
But from front to back, I think it is a really excellent record, and man, Carly Rae Jepsen, she's still one of the best
in
pop music.
Absolutely, and there's nothing wrong with that, even if it's a case where maybe it's a record you don't feel as strongly about in comparison to their other, but you're still a fan.
Yeah, definitely.
That's just natural. That's just how that goes, especially with ranking.
Yeah.
I did that a few times on my top 30 list where it's just, these albums, I mean, to some it may not be the most critically lauded great album of all time, but it's something that I frankly listen to a lot.
Yeah,
and I love this artist quite a bit.
Same here. There's a couple on here that are, you know, good albums, but definitely like I just got sucked into them.
Exactly.
And just listen over and over again. And when you do that especially with an album, since they're so easy to digest, like rather than like movies or something like that, you're just able to get back into an album over and over again. And if you do that with some of these albums, especially like throughout a year, if it's like a drought and you know, music at a certain period of time, and you're just listening to one album for like a week or two,
yeah,
that can totally just stick in your mind as like, this is one of my favorite records of the year.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what happened with Dedicated for me.
Definitely.
All right, you're number nine.
Number nine is... This is the first one that I would recommend to you more than anything else on this list. It's Gray Area by Lil Sims. Lil Sims is a UK rapper. Gray Area might be her second or third record. She's put out a few records before, but this thing is a sleeper. Like, more people should be talking about this album. It's probably the best, one of the best UK rap records of the last couple of years, not just this year. Lil Sims is just very, just such a great lyricist. The instrumental choices on this are incredible. It's very reminiscent of, I would say, maybe To Pimp a Butterfly, some aspects of Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick, in terms of the production style and the instrumentals.
That does sound right up my alley.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
And it's presented by this tough as nails UK chick who is just great. And just her delivery and, you know, her wordplay is just, it's great. It's super sticky. Just such a great short record. It's only like a half hour.
Nice. I love to hear that.
Real quick. And it's just all these kind of moody but endearing hip hop jams. The track Selfish, track 3, which should definitely be one of my biggest recommendations from this, is kind of a more piano-based ballad, but has, you know, just incredible flows from Sims, and is just a very powerful and just beautiful track, and a jam at the same time. I mean, it's awesome. It's a great record. Yeah. So, yeah, Gray Area by Lil Sims. Biggest track recommendations on that would be 101 FM, Offense, and Boss. Yeah,
all right. Those are the three tracks. And as you say that, I realize now that I didn't even give my top three tracks for Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh, no.
Which is crazy because I made up the idea. my top tracks from that would be...
Because we're going to rewind a little bit.
Yeah, we'll edit this back in. so my top three tracks would be Julian, which is the intro to the record. Super sticky, great, fun, awesome song. Automatically in Love, as well as Happy Not Knowing. I think those would be my top three from that one. Moving on, and before we get to that, I am totally definitely interested in hearing
you would really like this. Yeah,
Lil, L-I-L, like
No, L-I-T-Z-L-E.
Okay, Little Sims,
S-I-M-Z. I'll send you the album. Yeah, I also think, because I know you like Fugees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely, like, Fugee vibes on some of these tracks. Yeah, except it's, you know, just contemporary UK hip-hop. It's not, like grime or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's very much, like, it's very much American kind of.
Yeah, because I feel hip-hop. Like I kind of, it's funny you say that, because I feel like a lot of the UK hip-hop that I hear or know of is very grime and
guys, rapping like this.
Experimental and, you know, a little weirder.
Yeah.
So that's cool to hear. I'm definitely interested in checking that out.
Yeah.
My number 9 here from my top 10 albums is Marika Hackman's Any Human Friend. This is definitely one of those that was, it just came out at the right time, not to say that, you know, nothing against this record, it's a phenomenal record, but it came out at, like, I don't know, maybe June-ish, late June, and, it was there for me, you know, it was like an album that I just went back to again and again and again. And Marika Hackman, I had listened to her previous album, which I think came out in 2016 or 17.
I'll say that's 2017.
Yeah, and there were a couple of tracks that I really liked off of it, but it was, again, something that I wasn't really too attached to, but, Any Human Friend here is totally right on my alley. It has a really nice, opening track, a nice little slow ballad kind of track. But then it gets into just really fun, interesting indie rock pop songs.
Oh, yeah.
That are all just really fun. Lyrics are really funny, and there's, like, really good wordplay in there. And I love the stuff that, you know, she's touching upon. And, just a lot of the way that the album's written in terms of its musicality and instrumentals, it's really just such an interesting indie rock record. Especially for a lot of female vocalists like this in the indie rock scene, I find myself getting tired of a lot of them because they have very similar sounds.
Sure.
Like, I think of like a Colleen Green and like a Soccer Mommy and he's very like pop or like punkish pop punk, like grunge sort of like heavy guitar rock.
The genre has kind of fallen into a pretty homogenized sound.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate. And I just feel like a lot of artists in that genre kind of just fall into the traps that make them sound a little bit too much like.
Yeah.
Sound a little bit too samey.
Yeah. And that's, you know, sucks. Some of these albums, you know, I actually do kind of like Colleen Green's stuff. But that Soccer Mommy record, I kind of just bounced right off of. And there's a number of other ones that I'm just blanking on.
One big example for me would be Snail Mail.
I was just about to say Snail Mail is one of them where. I
just cannot get into that record to save my soul. But it's what makes records like this so special. Because it shows that there are more indie rock centric singer-songwriters that can really pull off great things and make, you know, it's so much more evident.
Yeah.
When you get artists like this or like this record that there's just more to the songwriting.
Yeah, I think
they're just more fulfilling tracks and just done in a way that a lot of other artists aren't doing.
Right.
It's especially when you get records like that.
I would almost kind of place Marika Hackman in sort of like a definitely not as far as like a Mitski in terms of experimentalism.
Yeah.
But definitely is like veering toward something different. Sounding in this very samey genre.
Right.
And just for that, I think this is one of the best records of the year.
Absolutely. What
would be your... Yeah, and before I forget, some of my favorite tracks off here are Han Solo, Blow, and I'm Not Where You Are. I think all those tracks, just, again, musicality, the way, you know, a lot of great guitar licks and really fun, sticky choruses. That's kind of... A lot of the greatest aspects of this record are like really good, strong guitar centric tracks, really fun, plucky, you know, guitars, and also like really great wordplay and choruses and
absolutely.
It's really fun songs to listen to.
It's a really great record. I like that album a lot.
Yeah. So moving on to your number eight.
Number eight is Bandana by Freddie Gibbs and Madlib.
All right.
It's funny, he said how the Rika Hackman record was one that came out at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly how I feel about this, because I think this came out right at the start of the summer.
Is it that long ago?
I want to say it was June, maybe the first week of June. And wow, this record, it's very hard. For me to say it's not better than the one that preceded it, Pinata, because I do think Pinata is the superior record, but this record really gives Pinata a run for its money.
Yeah.
And it's very different. It's kind of more Freddie's show on this than it is Madlib's.
Definitely.
But that being said, this is some of the most experimental and original beats and production work that Madlib has ever done. It's really amazing on that. The bits where he kind of gets more of the wheel and shines, it's very subtle. But when you realize it, it's absolutely incredible and just amazing tracks. It's, again, another album I don't think was really that long runtime-wise. Let's see. Yeah, it clocks out around 46 minutes. So honestly, perfect length for a record like this. Not too long, not too short. And yeah, just incredible tracks. Just an MC who honestly always needs to work with somebody like Madlib, because
yeah.
I feel like Freddie Gibbs just never really fires as great as he does when he's with other producers.
Yeah, I feel like every time I've heard a Freddie Gibbs song that wasn't produced by Madlib, I've just kind of been... I don't know that he's that great.
Exactly.
But when he has Madlib with him and they're together, they feel like one distinct force.
They do. I mean, it makes him sound like one of the greatest rappers of all time.
Yeah, and he's so strong.
He works with him.
Together, they're very strong. But yeah, again, I feel like for whatever reason, like whenever he works with anyone else, it just doesn't come across right.
Exactly. And it just shows, I mean, just the level of wordplay and flows on this album, the fact that he can even rhyme over a lot of Madlib's beats on this, which, again, I stress, it's a bit more whacked out and psychedelic than it is, than Pinata is, and I love that about this album. It just makes him sound way better than he does on any other projects, and I don't understand why he doesn't bring that level of energy and just care to his other work or collaborates with people that could bring that out of him. But I'm glad that these two records exist. It seems like a third one might be coming sooner rather than later, which is really cool. And I'm very excited for it. I think Bandana is just, actually looking at my list, I think that is my hip hop record of the year.
Wow.
It's absolutely amazing. And I didn't really...
That can't be true.
Oh wait, no.
That can't be true.
It's not. Although the other one that is coming is like one of the most...
Yeah.
Is that even a hip-hop record?
It's a little... We'll get to it, but I definitely know what you're talking about.
Well, by a traditional standard.
Yeah.
By a traditional standard, I guess, this would be my hip-hop record of the year. Favorite tracks would be Crime Pays, Situations, and Cataracts.
Okay. All right. Getting into my number 8 album of the year, I'm giving it to Caroline Polachek's Pang.
Admittedly, I have not listened to this album.
Man, it is...
I need to listen to
it. It was an interesting one. It just came out a few months ago, I want to say in October.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I gave it a listen, I was kind of a little underwhelmed by it, I guess. Caroline Polachek, for those who are unaware, is the former singer and part of the twosome that made up Chairlift, which is one of my favorite musical acts of the late 2000s and 2010s.
Chairlift, rest in peace.
Yeah, unfortunately they disbanded in, I want to say, 2016.
That sounds about right.
And
yeah.
we actually were lucky enough to see them in one of their last live shows, which was great.
Their last Chicago show.
Yeah. And
that's really cool.
So that was really cool. But anyways, Caroline Polachek's new album, Pang, is a really great, just a really great pop record from front to back. It's interesting. It has, I guess it's similar to the Chairlift stuff she was doing before. But some of the tracks are just so stand out from what I was saying before, I was a little underwhelmed by it the first time through. Maybe I thought it was missing that production from, I want to say his name's Patrick Wembley, I believe.
Yeah.
The other member of Chairlift. But going back to this album, I listened to it a lot when it first came out, just over and over again, just getting more and more attached to every single track off of it. And there's some really great standouts on this album. Caroline Shut Up is one of my favorite tracks. Another one, So Hot You're Hurting My Feelings, which basically sounds like a Haim song, like
really?
The best of Haim, basically. But it's Caroline Polachek, who honestly I think has one of the most unique and great voices in pop, mm-hmm. in terms of just her vocals.
Really underrated singer.
Yeah, I think she brings something to her songs. I don't know necessarily how to describe it, but she has like this really great range and just a good, unique style to her vocals. And finally, my last favorite track is the title of the record, Pang. It's a really great, really great song.
I need to listen to that.
Yeah, I think you'd really enjoy it.
I think I would too. Yeah.
I mean, especially, you know, obviously you're a Chairlift fan, yeah. And it's very much in that style.
And it seems like on this one she's kind of taking a bit more risks and kind of doing something just a bit different from Chairlift. And
yeah, a bit.
A cool way.
I would say it's probably most similar to their final album, Moth.
Sure.
Right?
That's cool.
Was their last one?
Yeah,
I would say it's a bit more stylistically in that wheelhouse. And
I'm on board for that.
Yeah, and it's a lot of slower tracks on this one, but they're all just like, again, she is like the forefront of these songs, and it really brings out the best in them. So
I gotta listen to that, most definitely. So pick number 7, my top 10 albums of the year, is Reward by Kate LeBond. Kate LeBond, been a fan of hers for a while. I think she is one of the most kind of underappreciated artists, or just underappreciated singer-songwriters, I should say. She's been around since 2011, 2012. Reward is her 5th record, which I came to her in her 3rd record, which came out in 2013, called Mug Museum. That record is really great. I would describe Kate LeBond as almost like the artsier cousin to St. Vincent.
Okay.
Whereas St. Vincent will pull influence from, say, kind of more electro-y music or the Talking Heads,
yeah.
She kind of pulls more influence from, say, the Velvet Underground or something like that.
Okay.
Kind of more, very rooted in 70s, 80s aesthetics, but done in a contemporary way.
Okay.
And it's really cool. Just very simple, you know, plucky indie pop songs. Love her voice. She kind of has like a bit of like a deeper kind of baritone voice, and just a collection of like 10 just really sweet, you know, kind of more love-centric songs. It's just a sweet record from somebody that has been really consistent and I'm a huge fan of. So
nice.
It's kind of a thing where it's not even a sense of me just being a huge fan of this artist. I genuinely think this is one of their strongest outputs, in all honesty, in That's terms awesome. Of their discography.
I think I checked out a bit of this one, and I feel like I should go back to it. It seems like something that I would maybe be interested in.
I think she's kind of a grower.
Yeah. And I know I listened to a bit of it, so I probably only gave it a one shot, and you know, but maybe if I go back to it and give it a, you know, another try or another couple tries.
Yeah.
Could be something I could get into.
She's definitely an artist like that, where the more time you give her and listen to her stuff, the more infectious it becomes.
Yeah, that's honestly a lot of music, I think, for me. There's a good number of artists I can think of that fit into that wheelhouse, and it's kind of unfortunate, I feel, because you know, sometimes you don't really want to give something that you don't really connect to the first time,
right,
like so much of a shot to like do more, especially if, you know, maybe someone like you who buys a lot of their music, the upfront buys their music without listening to it beforehand.
Yeah.
You kind of feel more obligated to doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas like someone like me, you know, the only time I buy records is when I'm like really into them, when I like have listened to a bunch of times. And then otherwise I'm just listening on Spotify, which, you know, I could throw it on and it costs nothing to me. And if I don't like it, I'm like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, maybe I'll give that another shot.
You should. You really should.
Your top tracks? Or
top tracks would be Daylight Matters, Home to You, Here It Comes Again.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that.
Oh, that's all good. It's a tough one to pick. It's a great album.
Alright. My number 7 kinda I feel like it dropped a bit for me. I was expecting this to be one of my higher-ranking albums going into creating this list and forming it, but here it's going to be my number 7 is Charlie from Charlie XCX.
Great choice, great album.
Really, yeah, seriously, I don't want to downplay this at all. I think Charlie XCX is one of the brightest and best acts in pop.
Absolutely.
Especially just the last few years. Honestly, I was never into her stuff pre the Vroom Vroom EP, which she came out with in 2016, I want to say.
Yeah, 2016.
Ever since then, I've just been so attached to her as an artist, and she is obviously one of the most forward-thinking and experimental pop artists today, and continues to grow, and honestly might be the best she's ever been. And with Charlie, her new album, which is kind of like, she's had a few mixtapes in the past few years, but this is her first like full-fledged like mainstream album since, right, like, I don't know, 2015.
Yeah,
2014.
And really crazy to think about that.
Yeah,
she's been everywhere, but
right,
she has not put out an album since 2014.
Yeah, and actually in the last, actually in, I want to say 2017, 2018, when she was doing those mixtapes, she even had like some really big singles like Boys,
yeah,
and like 5 a.m., I believe. But here with her new album Charlie, she's been very experimental in the past. Obviously she her music comes from like the PC music camp, like the production is done by this very eclectic eccentric producers.
Yeah,
I guess
there's a lot of people involved.
It's a camp of people, right? And here even she's, her music has gone even further into, I believe, like the experimental and just like kind of getting out there.
Absolutely.
But it's just such a great record.
The album is essentially a reintroduction to just her in general.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you look at this, I mean, maybe not so much the mixtapes preceding this or Vroom Vroom. I mean, really, that kind of feels like the start of this new era for her, but I mean, you look at records like True Romance and Sucker, and it's not even the same artist. She basically, what's cool about her and why I think she connects with so many people is that she is these songs on here are not hits. Like, these are not songs being played on the radio, but...
There's a few that you could pinpoint, sure, but for the most part...
She's managed to realize how to basically capture all facets of the internet, essentially, which is an even smarter move.
Yeah.
On a pop star's perspective. And I feel like with that, she feels more just comfortable with just making whatever kind of music mm-hmm. she wants, and... as weird or as, you know, accessible it is, or maybe both at the same time. And it just makes her such a anomaly in pop in the best possible way. She's really great. She had an amazing year this year mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, like, seriously. And I always have to commend her for just how often she will bring in these features, these other artists to be on her tracks with her. And it's just like, all over the map, these people, you know, like,
exactly.
You get like big people like Lizzo, who obviously had a huge year this year, on one of the tracks here, Troye Sivan, which is one of the best tracks on this album, 1999. Christine and the Queens, with Gone, which is seriously probably my favorite song of 2019.
Oh, yeah.
But then she, you know, she gets into like the very weird underground artists. I mean, maybe Cupcake doesn't fit into that necessarily anymore. I feel like she's kind of grown a bit in the past few years, but like in 2017, when, you know, she had her first, when she was doing her mixtape, she was putting Cupcake on all the albums that she's on here as well. You know, Dorian Electra, I don't know if they actually are on this album or if I'm thinking of a mixtape track, but there's just all these artists that you see here that you would just not see anywhere else, right, in terms of pop.
She takes an approach like a rapper mm-hmm. to how her albums are presented, yeah, and structured, and inviting guests to come mm-hmm. on. Most pop artists don't really do that. Maybe you'll see one or two tracks with that, but literally almost every song on, yeah, this has somebody extra to it.
And it is very hip-hop-esque, where it's like each person, and she'll get like, you know, upwards of three or four people to feature on a song, and it'll, right, be like everyone doing a verse, basically, you know? And, you know, someone does the chorus, or Charlie does the chorus, and sometimes she's not even the focal point of her songs.
Exactly.
Which I don't think you could point to any other big pop star that would ever do anything like, no, that. She is such an anomaly, and I love her so much. I really can't say anything wrong about Charlie XCX.
Absolutely.
I think this record, for me, I love it a lot, but I think the last couple tracks, like 2099 is an okay closer, but it doesn't live up to the heights of 1999. And then, unfortunately I don't have internet access right now, so I can't look up the track listing, but there's the one track before 2099, which kind of just ends on this weird, note with one of the features that kind of goes into this weird tangent.
Yeah.
And I kind of don't think that song is all that special anyways. And then, the track before that, which is the one with Cupcake on it, which I still just can't get around to really enjoying too much.
Sure.
Unfortunately I'm forgetting what that one's called. I think it is a pretty great record. I love it a lot, and my top three tracks from this, again, Gone. You really just have to hear that song. It was like immediately, absolutely, as soon as I heard that, it was like the day we were going to Pitchfork to see her, yeah, actually. She released that song that same day, or maybe it was the night before or whatever, but it was like an immediate just hit of everything I want in pop music.
Absolutely.
Christine and the Queens, who made my favorite record of 2018, features on it and is like brilliant on this track.
Mm-hmm.
Can't speak highly enough of Gone. If you're going to check out any song from any artist that is in my top 10, make it that one.
Yeah, that's definitely song of the year contender.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Other than that, Click is another great one, and White Mercedes is definitely my favorite of the slower, more ballady tracks in this track listing.
Great album.
Great, great album.
I love that record. So my number six pick is When I Get Home by Miss Solange Knowles. This record really stuck with me a lot, and I didn't really expect it to, in all honesty, but I can't help it. Every time I hear it, even though this is nowhere near as detail-oriented or thought-provoking as her last record, it still kind of manages to be in a really weird way. It's doing a lot with very, very little. It's just very minimalistic soul R&B pop songs, and it's great. It's just a great assortment of tracks. Some of the biggest risks I think Solange has taken in her career wind up on this album, and it pays off. And honestly, I think this record maybe has like the most amount of some of my like favorite songs of 2019 on it.
Nice.
Because it's great. I think it's what she did here on this record is just such a bold leap for her career and just her style, and I would love to see her kind of to keep rolling with this a little bit. Maybe not in full force on her next record, but I really love what she did on this one. And yeah, again, it came out very early in the year. It came out like beginning of March, and it's one that I still just am pretty captivated by every time I put it on.
Nice. Now, I'm not really into Solange. I'm interested in knowing kind of what your relationship to her music was before this. Is this kind of like your first big introduction to her, or?
No, A Seat at the Table, her last album, which that one just blew up, was everywhere in 2016. Right. A lot of her stuff beforehand, I mean, she kind of attempted to go more of in a straightforward pop route. A lot of that stuff either just never really cared to check out or was really that interested in. But A Seat at the Table was definitely a gigantic stylistic pivot for her. Mm-hmm. She kind of went more in route of a neo-soul type style. And yeah, I mean, that record is borderline a classic. I mean, it's kind of been topping a lot of, or at least winding up in the top 10 of a lot of best albums of the 2010s lists. And it definitely deserves that accolade, because yeah. It's great. It's just a very ambitious, just very bold neo-soul record. This one, I mean, to me, to my ears, I get a lot of influence of sort of just contemporary trap and even mumble rap artists on this, but done in her way.
Huh.
Done in this way where it's maybe phrases and slogans kind of said over and over repetitiously, but it still has a point to it in a lot of the songs.
Okay.
But it's almost done in this like sort of kind of just, you know, almost chant type way. And it's super clever. It's like she's taking, you know, say an artist like, I mean, biggest example of like who I'd say this album honestly reminds me of is Playboi Carti. His album Die Lit, which that is
that sounds ridiculous.
I will die on any hill supporting
you'll
that
die
album.
Lit on
I will
any
die
hill.
Lit on any hill. That album is, from a lyrical standpoint, one of the dumbest fucking things ever made, but it weirdly manages to just be a super entrancing record. I mean, it's literally just Playboi Carti maybe going like and like making noises or maybe saying phrases or something, doing some kind of ad lib.
Somehow it transcends that.
And just saying the dumbest shit, but that coupled with the production, it's like punk rock, but in rap. Huh. Like that record is really something. It's really awesome. And I see her kind of taking that approach, but obviously doing it in a manner that it has something to say.
Sure.
It's saying something either about, you know, politics or, you know, just, you know, the struggles of a black woman in today's sure. America. And I think that I just love that she pulled that off, that she made a record that is simultaneously really contemporary and something that could only come out now, but is pretty timeless and futuristic at the same time. And she really achieved that with this record. And it's, I maybe even like this more than A Seat at the Table. I mean, I acknowledge that A Seat at the Table is a better record, but this one just has such an endless playability for me. And it's just, yeah, it's really great.
I feel like Dan's going to be sending me a revised list after talking so highly of this one.
This was my number one for a while.
Really?
This was my number one probably till like June. And then kind of more records started coming out that sort of just I enjoyed way more. Yeah. But from like March to June, this would have been my number one pick.
Cool. Yeah. I actually do know what your number one is now that I think about it. I know exactly who it is, and I'm excited to talk about him.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to get into my number six pick in a second, but before we do that, I do want to just say that we will be doing a break after this. We have hour-long sessions that we can do for each recording, so we're getting upon that hour mark here, so we're just going to cut it off at the halfway point and then do our top five in a moment. But
absolutely.
I'm going to get to my... did you ever actually say top tracks on that last
one? Oh, yeah. Top tracks. Been trying to keep it to three, but honestly, yeah. I can go more on this one. I think Stay Flow is one of the best songs of the year. That'd probably be in my top five. Imelda, which actually has aforementioned Playboi Carti.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Let's see. My Skin, My Logo. Gerard. Bins. Fucking great record. Seriously, it's so good.
What he's saying right now is just check out every song.
Yeah, like honestly, I mean, it is not for everybody, mm-hmm. but it's something special. Yeah. It's a great record.
All right. That's awesome to hear. My number six is actually something I came to very late in the game. It's an album that came out, I want to say, in late June, maybe July. It's very right up your alley if you know Charlie XCX, and I've been recommending it to a lot of friends recently who listen to Charlie, and this is Dorian Electro's Flamboyant.
Another album I admittedly have not listened to yet this year.
You will love this album so much. I forget which album you said earlier, but it's I think it was a Little Sims one. I think this album's like 30 minutes long. It's a very quick record. It's maybe 11 tracks. And it's very much, it's not the PC music, it's not actually produced by that camp, but it's very much in that style, like definitely is riffing on that. And Dorian Electra is someone who I honestly didn't really know at all. I knew of them from a feature from a Charlie track, but coming into this record, I actually really only listened to it because of Melon, because of his recommendation, because I think this landed at number 10 on his best of, which I feel like I always find one every year that's like in his top 10 that I had never heard of and I end up loving.
Oh, yeah.
Like Cara Cara Bonito was one of those. And Dorian Electra is definitely that for this year for me. This album is such a great expression of finding yourself and kind of telling the world. So Dorian Electra is originally a woman, but her politics and you know, obviously she refers to herself as they and or them, and she with this album is kind of speaking out to her gender politics and how she identifies herself or themselves. And it's just a great album of all these songs that speak to, you know, being a man and, you know, being abrasive and having the attributes that would more typically, you know, society would say would be more manly or, mm-hmm. you know, relate to that gender more. And again, this album is very much in like Charlie's space of this very experimental pop album, very futuristic sounding. Feels like, you know, this is what music will sound like in 25 years, 30 years. Like Batman Beyond would be listening to this or something.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's just a lot of really great tracks, front to back. I love what each of them is about. There's one track in particular that is one of my favorites called Musical Genius, which is this very, glitched out, sounds very dark and, like, almost like a, when the synths really come in, it's, like, very, like, horror movie-esque. Like, it's very, like, high-pitched, like, synth hits and the vocals that Dorian is using here, they do a lot with auto-tune throughout the entire record, but here it's like very distorted, it's like just like up and down pitched, it's really fun, it's a really great song.
I need to check this out now, desperately.
This is the one that you need to listen to off my list. And Caroline, for sure, but this one is so up your alley. Yeah. It's a very, just like, this is kind of why it goes above Charlie for me, is just because it's so quick and everything just hits. Mm-hmm. There's no fat on this album. It's nothing to be trimmed. It's front to back, just so great, so forward thinking, and Dorian Electra has in a matter of like a week or two since I started listening to this album become one of my favorite new artists, and it's a phenomenal album.
Gotta listen to that.
My top tracks, again, Musical Genius, which doesn't even seem like something that would be up my alley, like would be very abrasive to me, and people I've told to listen to this album have like also been like, I don't know about that one.
Sure.
But I definitely think you'll very much enjoy it.
Yeah.
Other than that, Man to Man is a much more accessible track, very pop, more you know, mainstream pop speed, and then Freaky for Life, which is the closing track, which is just so much fun. It has a really great instrumental on it, and it's a phenomenal album that again is Dorian Electra's Flamboyant.
Awesome.
Number really great pick. Album. Yeah.
You need to listen to that, absolutely. I'm glad it ranked so high on your list.
Yeah, it was, again, it's one of those that just came out of nowhere and I've just can't get it out of my head.
It's awesome.
We're gonna take a break here and we'll come back with our top five.
And we're back, everybody. Infinite Canvas Ultra. We're counting down our top 10 favorite albums of 2019. Before our little break, we left off at number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And my fifth pick for top albums of 2019 is Igor by Tyler, the Creator.
Slipping on your list, I think.
A little bit. That was pretty high for quite a while. I think that was probably my number one for a short amount of time, actually.
Yeah.
Because between that
and... I want to say it was when we did the half-year list, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Might be wrong about that.
I'm actually not going to say. I'm gonna keep you in suspense, because maybe it might be a clue to what my number one is.
Oh, but, okay.
But Igor, what is to be said that hasn't been said about this album already... it's great. Maybe Tyler, the Creator's best album. He went out and happened to make one of the best breakup albums ever made. It's sad. It's hilarious. It's, very much Tyler, the Creator coming into his own as an artist. Mm-hmm. I feel like this record is just has the markings of that all over it. I think what we're going to get from him in this new decade is going to be some really incredible stuff. I really hope that he manages to maintain this level of just incredible songwriting, incredibly creative production choices, concepts, narratives. I mean, granted, he's been doing this honestly his entire career. His earliest stuff all had elements of this, these big thematic just plot points to his music, and you get all that here, but in just such a better way, just way more thoughtful and
more cohesive.
It's just great. Flower Boy was another album like that too. It's really crazy seeing him mature and morph from the start of the decade, where he was, I think, probably 18 years old and making just this offensive on purpose,
super abrasive hip-hop. Loud.
Which in retrospect, like, my relationship with Tyler, the Creator as an artist has gone from really loving him when he first came out to turning my back to now I think loving him even more than I ever have. Not only just because his last two albums, actually three albums, I do very much enjoy Cherry Bomb, which came out in 2015 or 16. Not only do I think his last three records are great, but even going back to looking at his old career, and just viewing it with the lens that I have now of what he's become, I respect those records. They are what they are. They're not something I would really listen to much, but they do have some jams on them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I would say out of any artist this decade, it's been pretty incredible seeing his growth and what he's become.
Yeah, if any memes out there, like my 2010 versus 2019, Tyler, the Creator has probably one of the craziest arcs in all of music or pop culture.
Exactly. Altogether.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal record, and honestly, one that I'll be getting to pretty soon here.
I have a feeling. And like you were saying, just like with his arc, this is like the perfect stamp on it. Like, it feels like this came out at just the right time. Where the next time we hear from him, I don't even know. It's very exciting.
Yeah, but it's definitely gonna be like a moment again whenever he has anything else. And I'm kind of surprised just how much this album blew up.
I know.
It's accessible, yes, but it's not really the mainstream hip hop sound today. You know, that's not what this is.
It's intentionally difficult, and that's what makes it so clever. It's
very
accessible songs, but shrouded in murk and distortion. Yeah. And there's so many features on this record that I didn't even know were there until I read the liner notes and saw that Lil Uzi Vert is on the first track, which I didn't even know.
Yeah, I don't even think I had that.
it's insane, or the fact that you have a Kanye West feature on this album, but it sounds like a different person.
Yeah, it's like drowned out, and don't even recognize it.
Exactly, it's so distant, it almost just sounds like an old recording or an old sample or something, but it's not. He got Kanye West to do a feature. It's just so smart. It's just such an incredibly written and just smartly produced record.
Yeah, and it's so great that he gets Kanye on this album, because it's obviously so much indebted to Kanye, and especially like 808s. There's so much to this album that you just can tell he was doing, he was really inspired by Kanye.
Absolutely.
Well, Kanye of old, actually, but...
very big Kanye West, Pharrell Williams vibes on this album, from the production standpoint, but done only in a way that could be presented by Tyler, the Creator, and it's a phenomenal album.
Top tracks?
Top tracks, A Boy is a Gun, What's Good, New Magic Wand, Earthquake, I think I'm gonna leave it at that. That's a lot. I could go the rest of the album.
Thought we were keeping it to three. No, that's fine. Lots of great tracks on that album. All right, moving on. I'm gonna give you my number five, which is a totally out of nowhere album for me this year. That's The Lost Boy by YBN Cordae.
Nice.
Just an album that I totally clicked with immediately. The first time I actually heard him. I hadn't heard his mixtape a couple of years ago, or maybe I'd maybe heard a track off of it or something. But the first time I actually heard anything from YBN Cordae's new album, it was him and Anderson .Paak playing on, I think, Fallon. On whatever late night show, and it's this really awesome song where both of them are like kind of spitting back and forth for much of the song. And it was a really good introduction to him, because obviously I'm a huge Anderson .Paak fan, and I love to see him on anything, but then getting this great voice from YBN, who is honestly, fuck everyone who thinks J. Cole's that great. Honestly, I think Cordae here is a really great lyricist, tells some really strong stories in this album. And if you are into J. Cole, and whatever, I'm not a big fan of J. Cole, but here, if you do like that style of hip hop, this is totally an album for you. The production style is very vintage and plays a lot with like 70s soul and funk and stuff like that, samples in that space. And again, Cordae himself is a really great lyricist, just has a good flow, a good voice, and carries these tracks along throughout the entire track listing here. There's also some really great features as well. Like I said, Anderson .Paak, Ty Dolla $ign's on one of the songs. It's a really, really great hip-hop album, and especially if you're into... hip hop of yore, you know, some like older style stuff. It's a really, really phenomenal record.
It's on my, I need to spend more time with. I think I've listened to it maybe once or twice, but I definitely need to check it out some more. I liked those initial listens.
Yeah.
That was really, really good.
It's a really, really strong album, and I think might be his first like big commercial album. I know he had like a mixtape before, but this might be his actual first album. Not to be confused with Album and Chance the Rapper, who also actually features on this.
And had his first debut studio album this year.
And also, funny enough, the song from The Lost Boy that has Chance on it is one of the strongest tracks, I think, in the track listing. And Chance's verse on it is actually really good.
Yeah.
Better than anything he did in his own album, which is mind-blowing, but that's conversation for... I don't know, 20 episodes ago.
I wonder if The Big Day topped anybody's Albums of the Year list this year.
There has to be a number of people, but they're wrong.
The Big Day.
Best album of the 2010s.
Dude, Hot Shower, best song of the year.
My top tracks from The Lost Boy is Thousand Words, I think is a great one, Family Matters, and Have Mercy. All really, really strong tracks.
Good to hear that record made the list too.
Yeah.
That's a really great record. Definitely one that I'm going to... I always have like a surplus of albums that I kind of dive into at the start of the next year that I maybe didn't have enough time for.
It's always like a lull in the beginning of a year. Yeah.
January is always typically kind of quiet. So that's definitely going to be another one.
And it's a good winter album. I believe like the first track is actually Winter Time.
That's awesome.
So it's a really good kind of just reflective, slow, kind of just nice listen all the way through. Yeah. I think that would be a good January listen for
Absolutely. So my number four is the album Dog Whistle by the New York band Show Me the Body. Show Me the Body is a band that I frankly really have not liked anything that they've done prior to this record, but this record, oh boy, like, wow, this is maybe one of my favorite rock records of the last couple of years. It's such a intense, just really quick, 28 minutes long, punk rock, but takes a lot more risks than your average punk rock band. Incorporates a lot of elements of hip-hop and some industrial, and it's just great. It's very much a album, you know, just New York is ingrained in these guys, and like you just, it's so great hearing a lot of different influences come through for what is, you know, just typically a straightforward punk rock affair, but it's way more than that. Just really catchy, incredible songs, and just some of the best rock tracks I've heard all year. And I just think the flow of the album, it's just a very poignant experience, and an album that I just like straight up just enjoyed incredibly, like just from the moment I heard it. Just first listen, I had a feeling
just like
I knew that this was gonna rank as high as it did. Because it just scratches so many itches for what I want out of a modern day rock record. Because it's just not something that feels stagnant or kind of trapped in an old era. It sounds very contemporary and new, and there's just a lot of new ideas on this and incredible playing all the way through. So, yeah. Big shout out to Show Me the Body. I'm like, I'm very impressed that, you know, they managed to be a band that I just really did not care too much about at all. Like on their previous efforts to now being a favorite, I really hope that their third record ends up continuing on from this and being as enjoyable.
Yeah.
Favorite tracks? Not For Love, Drought, and Madonna Rocket. Some great songs.
Madonna Rocket. That's a cool sounding title. I like that.
this is an album to drive very fast to, or maybe go for a run to. Like it's just super, just blood pumping, just, yeah.
20 years from now, some band will be started called Madonna Rocket, and maybe it'll be based off of that song. You know? You always think of, there's always, like, bands I hear of that are like, oh, we base it off this lyric or this song by this artist we love, you know? That's a really good band name, I feel like.
It's just out there. Someone out there, take it.
Yeah.
Listen to this album first, and then take that band name.
Now, are you not suggesting this one to me?
I think this one might, I don't know if you would,
might be a little too,
there are some bits, like not as a whole in the album, there are some bits that get kind of shouty and like kind of, but I would say kind of steer clear of it. If I think I would maybe check out the track Madonna Rocket, because that's like kind of one of the most straightforward, just like, yes, like, you know, just like rock and roll songs.
Maybe when I drive back home, although my car's radio doesn't work, so maybe not.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It wouldn't sound too great coming out of my phone speaker, probably. Mm. Moving on to my number four album of this year, I'm giving it to Violet Street by Local Natives. Just an album that came out earlier in this year, I want to say like April-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been in constant rotation for me. I really, really enjoy this album. Local Natives, I think, is they're a good indie pop rock band, and they've been doing the same kind of thing for the last 10 years. Like them or not, you know, whatever. I think this is definitely their strongest album, their most cohesive record to date. Just front to back has a lot of really good songwriting on it, and interesting, fun, you know, sing-along chorus, you know, tracks on it. Not too much to say about it because it's not doing anything super special or anything, but it just is a really, really solid pop rock record. Just indie rock album. I know you gave it a listen.
It's good. Yeah, I mean, it definitely impressed me a lot more than pretty much any other
records. You've never really been into them, right?
Not necessarily. I mean, production wise also sounds great. It sounds very just lush and beautiful. It's a really solid record.
I like I said, I don't really have too much to say about it necessarily, but it's just one of those ones that I just feel comfortable just going back to all the time, and it's just a really nice sounding record. Some of my favorite tracks, if you had to listen to one, I'd give you Megaton Mile. I think that song is just a bop. It's so fun. When Am I Gonna Lose You, which is the main single off this record, is a really fun song, very earworm, just can't get out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the final tracks, Gulf Shores, which is a kind of slower ballad kind of song, but is like intercut with these really punchy guitar licks spliced in between the chorus and the verses that are... it's just so, it's just an awesome song. Really great album.
Absolutely. All right, we're at number three.
We're getting down to it.
Following through this list. So number three is Titanic Rising by Wiseblood.
Okay, yeah. I've heard of them.
It's, this woman, Natalie Maring, I've really, really loved her stuff previously. This record is a classic.
A recommendation?
Now, this is a big recommendation. Okay. Like I feel like you would really like this album a lot.
What are we talking?
Like in terms of like styles.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If I would say if you took elements of like maybe Feist and Haim and kind of who else could you kind of put into this mix? Older reference, but Carole King. Like if you kind of took all of them and like rolled them in, and you get this very vintage sort of like sun-drenched, just oh god, is it like pretty
like kind of like a 70s music. Pop?
Very much so. Yeah. Okay. But it's produced by Jonathan Rado of Foxygen, so it has like It just knows every right button to push.
If you're going for that kind of style, Foxygen is a good way to go.
It knows every right button to push for just sunshiny and incredibly written pop music. Oh. It's just such a... It's so well written, but it's also just such a hopeful and just endearing record. And yeah, it's a really beautiful experience. I feel like everybody should sit down with this and just kind of have their own, because it's definitely a very, like, I think it hits people and like personally in a lot of different ways. A lot of people I've talked to you about this album, and that's important. You need records like that. You need ones that are like that. Just this well-written and meticulously composed and just great songs just all the way through. I really think you should check this one out.
Hell yeah. It's on my list now to listen to. That and Little Sims.
Yeah.
Yes. I will be definitely listening to both of those.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go 3 on this one. It's actually the first 3 songs on the album. A Lot's Gonna Change, Andromeda, and Every Day. Like, those are just... If you're in it after those 3, I mean, you'll probably really love the whole rest of the album.
That's really great to hear that, you know, it has like really strong tracks at the forefront to really, you know, reel you in and get you listening.
Exactly. I can't really, like, you know, just 2 words that just immediately come to mind. It's a beautiful record. It's just so pleasant. It's just nice to have on. It's just like, it feels like spending time with like a really good friend. Like, it's just like a warm experience. So, great record.
Love it.
And I mean, like, Wise Blood, I think, has definitely put herself on a lot of people's consciousness kind of more.
I've been seeing that name come up here and there over the past few months, especially in terms of like top albums of the year lists and stuff. So
yeah, and there's a couple records this year that, like, I really feel like retrospectively will be remembered 10 years from now and like look back on very fondly 10 years from now. Igor would be one, and I just get a feeling about this one. Like, I think that it's gonna get a lot of love in the next few years. So
maybe it'll be getting a lot of love from me in this weekend.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on. I am going to give you guys Legacy by Jamila Woods. An album that actually didn't even make my top 5 during the half year. It kind of got pushed for another album.
Was it in your runner-ups?
Yeah, it must have been in my runner-ups. And just going back to it more and more since halfway through the year, I just think this is one of the most special albums and, you know, really cohesive front to back. And Jamila Woods is... For those of you, she's, you know, fairly unknown, fairly, you know, lesser known.
Unless you're from Chicago.
Unless you're from Chicago. Fuck us. She is a, kind of an R&B, hip-hop-ish singer. And that's a lot of what this album is taking from, but it's very... I don't know, it's in its own style. Like, it has, this album goes a lot of different places, stylistically and musically. Honestly, I think all the songwriting is really strong. There's a lot of really great tracks up front and through the middle. There's a 3 song stretch here, which are my top 3 tracks, which is Miles, Muddy, and Bass Quiet. Bass Quiet, which has Saba on it, and is really seriously one of the most standout songs of this year for me. He really comes through. Saba, who's a Chicago rapper, right? And he is phenomenal on that track. And
side note, if you've never listened to Care For Me by him, check that out. Yeah. That album is awesome.
That's actually one that I need to go back to, especially because I had listened to it when it came out and hearing all the positive stuff about it. But that's one that I definitely need to go back to and give more listens because he's so strong here.
Yeah.
Jamila Woods is a really unique voice in the R&B scape today, I think. And here, you know, she's working with a lot of... I love the instrumentals here, especially like those 3 songs where they're I want to say Muddy is very like rock heavy. It's yeah. like a really rocking guitar lead. And it's just a very strong track. You just like hear the emotion coming from her vocals. Miles is a, you know, a little quieter, and there's like a lot more like jazzy tracks here in the listing. Lots of like, you know, down tempo, like drums and like these bass lines that are really sticky. Bass Quiet has this really great bass line that I actually told a friend to listen to the other day, because he like plays bass, so I was like, you gotta listen to the song.
And yeah,
he like sent back, he was like, oh man, that bass is really something.
That's awesome.
It's like, I like can totally just hear it right now. It's such a phenomenal line and a great track. And then like the final few songs on this album get more synthy and you know, more like futuristic sounding. It's really stylistically kind of, she's going all over the place, but it's still, the record sounds cohesive as a whole.
Right.
It's really one of the best albums, and I love the conceit of the track listing, yeah. each track being based on like a person of color. You know, the title is, a you know, someone who was like of prominence, and
like
and
Muddy Waters
yeah. and Miles Davis. Like, yeah, it's a really, really great album. One of my favorites for sure.
It's a great record.
Yeah.
That's a really great record. I like that album a lot.
And definitely one that I think grows more and more as you listen to it, and you just get more deeply involved in everything it's saying and all of the stylistic choices that she makes on this record. It's really something special.
Absolutely.
And I think more people should listen to it.
Oh, I 100% agree. Yeah. There should be more attention.
Yeah, so that, definitely one that's flying under the radar for a lot of people this year, I think.
I agree. I agree completely. Yeah. And you give your...
Yeah, to go over my top tracks again, that's Miles, Muddy, and Bass Quiet, which is a three-song stretch that is probably the strongest three songs of any album this year.
Absolutely. Like, just
such a good set of tracks.
That's awesome. Great record. Top two, here we go. Final countdown. Number two, it is All My Heroes Are Cornballs by JPEG Mafia. JPEG Mafia is the most original artist in rap. I'm just gonna go out and say that. That's like, this record is very much proof of that. This thing is confounding. It's hilarious. It's weirdly emotional in a lot of ways that I like didn't expect it to be. Like, I didn't expect to see that side of him as an artist on this album, and it's done in just such amazing and shocking ways. Maybe one of the most ugly produced albums I've heard this year. And going into the production of this record, there were no edits. He basically just recorded shit, didn't edit it, had it just all chopped together, just presented as it is. And it's very evident, but I really love that decision. I think that really makes this album sound like nothing else, because who would actually do something like that other than Mr. Peggy? God, like, just so many great tracks. The flow of this album, it's just... it's bizarre. At some moments, it kind of is cohesive and flows together, and others, it just pivots and just does something completely different. It basically just feels kind of like JPEG Mafia's subconscious, or just a representation of him as an artist. It's just in the moment. It's just here presented, warts and all. And I think he just completely catapulted himself over Veteran, his last record. I think Veteran's a phenomenal album, but I think this is the one that, like, I would say is like the definitive JPEG Mafia record
for now.
And yeah,
he's still very early. This is what, his second album?
That's true. Third, I believe.
Third, okay.
But even still, whatever he has next on the pipe, like, that has a lot to live up to with this, because it's just, I think it's one of the most enjoyable and just bonkers records that I've heard this year, and I cannot get enough of it. I've listened to this thing a lot.
Like, maybe your most listened to?
One of. It definitely in my top five most listened to albums. And it's great that it's a great feeling when one of your most listened to albums, it becomes, you know, one of your favorites in general of the year. And that's absolutely a case of this. I will try to keep it to three. For this, I would go Prone, Free the Frail, and probably Keenan versus Kel.
Which is great track
name. One of the best track names of the year. So yeah, no, I mean, I just am so impressed by this album.
I'm gonna steal that track for a band. That'd be like a good punk band name Keenan or something. Keenan versus Kel.
It would. But yeah, no, I think JPEG Mafia has just kind of solidified himself as just someone I'm always gonna be a fan of with this record. Yeah. And yeah, it's great. I absolutely love it.
That's awesome. One that I just did not get into. Yeah. And I actually enjoyed Veteran a bit. It wasn't like a favorite record of mine, and a bit of it was a little too out there for my taste. But this one, I just, that's not me.
Sure.
that's just not me. But there's obviously a big fan base for him, and
absolutely.
he is a really good voice in rap.
Oh, absolutely.
And a phenomenal performer, as much as we saw from Pitchfork.
Yeah, it was also one of the best shows I've seen this year, is when we saw him at Pitchfork, which was right before this album came out, actually.
Yeah,
a month or two. So,
all right, moving on, we're gonna move to my number two, which is, of course, Igor by Tyler the Creator.
I was kind of thinking it'd be your number one. Ooh,
oh, you're not my number one.
You think about, oh, I,
you know,
oh,
my
okay,
number
okay,
one.
Okay, I do. How could I forget that?
Yeah, I'm okay. Gonna present your number one. You present mine, okay?
Okay.
Tyler the Creator's Igor. I mean, what more is there to say? We've talked about this album a couple times already, even once in this podcast that you're listening to right now. It's just a really strong, cohesive album. Man, is Tyler the Creator is just getting better every time now. He's an artist that I wasn't very much into before, back in the early 2010s when he was, again, that very abrasive, loud, in-your-face style. He was always kind of like one of the lesser parts of God, what was that collective? Now I'm thinking,
Odd Future?
Odd Future,
which
for me,
in retrospect, crazy amount of talent that came out of the collective. We got Frank Ocean, we got Earl Sweatshirt, we got the Internet from Odd Future, and of course Tyler.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's kind
of
wild.
All of the most influential people, like, in kind of their respective genres. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And again, I liked Flower Boy. I thought it was a really strong album. It was him doing something different from what he had been doing before, and he was saying a lot of interesting things on it. It was a totally different sound for him. But here with Igor, it's just, man, it's so up my alley.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, what Spotify would probably classify as pop rap genre of music. That is, it's just so infectious. It's so listenable. I really think that it's interesting. In some aspects, I'm like confused as to how big this record got and how much traction Tyler had behind it. And then at the other side, I'm like, well, it's a really kind of accessible album, but it's not really what I expect a lot of mainstream rap listeners to like.
It's,
you know?
It's because he's such a figure.
Yeah.
Really the biggest advertising for the album is him.
Yeah.
I mean, just even getting, you know, just even his whole marketing approach to this album, you know, having the dummies of, like, him with the wig and, you know, just the visuals of him with the wig and, you know, doing the fake talk show and stuff for the one of the music videos. I mean, just how much of a meme the song Earthquake became this year.
Yeah.
He's really, much like Charlie XCX, like, he's really playing kind of all facets of marketing himself in the best possible ways.
Yes.
But he happened to put out maybe his most challenging record, which is also his most accessible.
It's weird.
It's just so genius.
It's like this weird puzzle box that kind of doesn't make sense, but you get it in the end.
It's such a representation of his ethos of just being yourself and people will accept you.
Yeah.
It just completely played out to everybody, and it's worked, and I'm like so happy for him.
Yeah.
Because of it.
Fucking awesome record. I can't wait for what Tyler has next, and yeah, this is one that I can just turn on anytime and just be sucked completely into the album as a whole and like want to listen to every track.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my top three are I Think, which is just such an awesome song. Are We Still Friends, which is the closer, which is a really sweet, somber track at the end. And, of course, Earthquake, which Absolutely. Is so fun. Just such a banger.
It really is.
But, yeah, a lot of the tracks on here, like Boy Is a Gun and... yeah, there's a lot on here that I really, really enjoy. It's a super strong record and was really kind of surprising for me, being that I, you know, am not that big of a fan of, or wasn't that big of a fan of Tyler, the Creator before this. But here I am.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to throw on my wig.
Exactly.
My little, like, what are those called? Like a bob cut,
yeah.
Right?
A friend of mine that saw him, she said that he was selling those. Like you got like a wig and like sunglasses set. That's part of his merch. You could wear that while you were watching the show. It's really awesome.
I hope a lot of people did that.
That's I hope awesome. So too.
Yeah. I personally know what Dan's top one is.
I know what your number one is as well.
Dan's number one, everybody, is Black Midi's Schlangenheim.
And Michael's,
is that what it is? Yeah.
Yes. And Michael's number one is Morbid Stuff by Pup.
Yeah. Tell me a bit about Black Midi.
I just love it because they basically are... So, basically, I've always wanted a band that reminds me of or maybe does... things maybe even more interesting than Radiohead, since I've been a fan of music.
Yeah.
And that band is Black Midi. They have arrived. They've done it. They have paved their way of being the future of weirdo art rock, and I just eat that up, that record up like it's breakfast. Like
yeah.
it's amazing. It's just such an amalgamation of so many different genres within underground rock just combined into one thing. And I just think it's just amazing. This is the first time I heard it, just pure, just guttural, like, I love this. And it just reminds me of nothing else. And I just think it's great. There's just amazing playing. I think one of the most talented bands in rock music, by far. I mean, just incredible bass playing, incredible guitar playing. Their drummer is probably one of the best drummers in music mm-hmm. right now,
yeah.
in my opinion.
He's wild.
And just their ability to just travel, like, just cover so much territory in rock over the course of that album, sometimes in songs where they start off kind of going with a more traditional indie rock type style, and then they veer off into something that kind of sounds like punk or post-hardcore music. They just cover so many bases, and it's just so original. And I
somehow
just,
they like add some, like some really groovy lines
yeah.
in each song, like in the middle. It doesn't seem like it fits, but like you're just like grooving along to it.
Exactly.
Even though like, you know, a minute before it was like a kind of like hardcore,
yeah,
almost metal, verging on metal track.
They take all those risks. They just make it all their own in just such an amazing way. I think that record is just endlessly entertaining. I can always throw that on and just be just completely sucked into it. And just all the craziness that is going on. It's just the type of record that makes me just how I am with music. Like, it's the type of record that I exactly want. The moment I heard it, it was just like, yes.
It's the music nerd's album.
Yes,
you know?
It's just what I want. Like,
yeah.
I just want an album like that. And it exists. It's Schlangenheim at Black Midi. And I'm just so happy with how that turned out. I love also the fact that this is a band's debut record. That just makes me just so appreciative of them and excited for their future. And yeah, like I said, just it's great. I love that record.
Yeah. I as someone who kind of bounced off the album itself, I have so much respect for them, having seen them live, and they are some real hardcore performers. They are at the top of their game, and it actually made me, I really enjoyed their music in a live setting, which was super surprising to me. Going back to the record, since seeing them live, I have found myself enjoying it more than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it's necessarily still for me. But again, I just, man, they are top level musicians, and they're like super young, right?
Yeah,
like
they're clock out. I think maybe youngest would probably be like 22, so they'll clock out around like 20, 22 years old.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
Yeah, it's exactly what I wanted. Just when I first time I heard that album, I was like, it's over. Like, this is my album of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I just knew it. Because, again, it just, that's totally what I wanted out of, especially a rock record. I mean, I feel like, we've talked about this before, more often than not, my favorite albums of the year end up usually being something more in lieu of hip-hop or electronic, and
same here. I feel like a lot of my last few albums of the year have been like R&B or hip-hop,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, pop more than rock.
Exactly. And for a record like this to just push boundaries in such a way it does, it's just very, it's great. I'm just so happy that it exists, because it's just such a just a entertaining album to me.
That's awesome. You heard it here first. The new Radiohead.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Did you give three tracks?
I did not.
Is it possible to give three tracks off this album? I feel like it's so melded together.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. So I'm going to go 953, Speedway, and Near Detroit, Michigan. But I would honestly say the whole album, because like, it's just front to back. It's a perfect album. I think it's really good.
Awesome. You want to give me my number one? You want to present to me my number one album?
Michael's number one album of 2019 is Morbid Stuff by Puff. A record that I love very much, though. We talked about it last time you heard us, actually.
Yeah, if you listened to last week's episode, Morbid Stuff by Pup is totally an album I never would have expected to really enjoy nearly as much as I do. Even coming, you know, I talked about it last episode, and I'm sure I probably talked about it in our half-year list, which it also was my number one there.
Oh, same with mine, actually.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed.
I had enjoyed their, or I somewhat enjoyed their second album, the one previous to Morbid Stuff, especially like some of the tracks like DVP, and If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, but Morbid Stuff is just, man, is this good pop punk, man. And as
it's
someone,
what all pop punk should be.
And
I mean, it's
from the two of us who are not in that fandom, you know, like, obviously, I do not really care for any of that kind of music, outside of like some nostalgia plays, you know, here and there from like the early 2000s that you would hear on like an American Pie soundtrack or something,
right? Or you're at like you're hanging out with friends at a bar or something,
sure,
it gets played, your drug friends are like, oh, the small thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The only times I hear that genre.
But something with Morbid Stuff, I think just the writing, the songwriting is superb. The lyricism here is really something special. And we, you know, again, we talked about it a good bit last week. But it's just a fun, really listenable album. It's just punchy and just so well performed, and a lot of really great just guitar riffs, and it's just an album that I probably listen to more than anything else this year, and could throw on at any time and have a fun time listening to it.
Exactly. And also something we kind of touched on when we were talking about last week, it's just so much more grown up than anything.
Sure.
to come from that genre, lyrically, even musically. It just sounds just way more skilled, and just, it's just so well performed, and then just the lyrics are just so, at times, touching, but, like, funny. Yep. It just, it's great.
Yeah.
It does exactly what that genre should, and it surprises me, but I'm so happy that there is a band like Pup, because I need music like that in my musical diet, but
yeah,
it's just not enough bands or artists that really provide what I'd want to have, and that's exactly it.
That's exactly what they're here for.
Yeah.
Pup, I love you so much. Morbid Stuff, that's my number one album of the year. My top tracks from it are See You at Your Funeral, Scorpion Hill, and Bloody Mary Kate and Ashley.
Great choices.
But honestly, you could pick any of them from that album. I think it is from start to finish a really awesome record, and it's another one of those that's like, I don't know, 35 or 36 minutes long, and is like something I could listen to like three times in a row and just never get tired of it.
Absolutely.
Great album, great band, super surprising, and honestly a lot of my list was a lot of surprises for me.
Yep.
Which is great to see. Yeah, that's our top 10 albums of this year.
Top 10 albums of 2019. So, yeah, that does it for that. You will see us next talking about our favorite movies of 2019.
Yeah, I guess not see us. You'll hear us next.
Yeah, exactly.
But you could see our writing next if you good check save. Into infinitecanvasultra.wordpress.com tomorrow, where Dan will have his top 30 albums, and you'll be able to see his write-ups for an additional 20 albums.
Absolutely. Even more recommendations along the way. So check that out. Read through the whole list. Yeah, next time you hear us, we'll be talking about our top 10 movies of the year. Which also I want to promote, Michael's written-up list will be on our website.
Yep, that'll be Thursday. And, yeah.
Exactly. So
see you guys back here on Wednesday, right?
Yep, see you on Wednesday.
This week's episode of Infinite Canvas Ultra is sponsored by Midwest Action. For more information on their releases and events sponsored by Midwest Action, you can head to MidwestAXN.com or search MidwestAXN at Bandcamp. Midwest Action. Listen local.